friends, welcome to Cashing In on Content Marketing. I'm Amanda Milligan, the marketing director at Fractal. And every week on the show, I interview marketing experts about the ways to know the value of your work and get buy-in for your strategies. This week, we're exploring messaging and rebranding with the perspectives of Black, Indigenous, people of color in mind. I'm so looking forward to chatting about this with the co-founder and PR and strategic communications director at the Black Creative Group, Crystal Glass. Welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for having me. I'm looking forward to this meaningful conversation.
I am too. I'm so glad you're taking the time. We really appreciate it to share your insights on this. So I had talked to your co-founder, Mikey Tabalon, the co-founder of Black Creative Group last year about something that we were going to talk about today. So I figured, like, let's just have a follow-up there, which is about the shifts that you've seen in companies and brands and how they've changed marketing since the uprising of social justice protests and the resurgence of Black Lives Matter. And we talked a little bit about that last year, but now it's been several more months, right? So I would love to get your perspective on that and what your impression has been about how brands maybe have shifted since then.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'll speak from both sides. One side being a Black American, and then the other side actually being in the field for over 11 plus years as it relates to marketing and messaging. So to start on the side of the expertise, if you will, from a marketing and messaging perspective, it's absolutely has increased. I mean, I'm sure anyone who, you know, are scrolling through social media, looking at different forms of ads, whether it's a commercial on TV or an ad on social media, we're starting to see more inclusivity in terms of just a spectrum of individuals in terms of ethnicity, sexuality. And so it's a beautiful thing, and it has proven to be effective. Facebook just recently released a study that showed that consumers are more likely compelled to engage with content that looks a little more diverse, that feels more representative of what the real world actually looks like. Mm-hmm. So that's on the marketing side of things. We've certainly seen marketing become more visually inclusive, and we've seen messaging in light of the George Floyd protests become more inclusive. Now on the side, personally, as a Black American, I definitely appreciate the more representation that we're seeing. You know, I'm not even that old. I'm in my 30s, but it's only been about 5 years that I've seen true representation of people of color and people of different lifestyles and life experiences. You know, so it's a beautiful thing when you can see ads of an interracial couple, ads of a same-sex couple, ads of a Black woman with a huge natural fro. And so on both ends, it really serves society best when we could be more inclusive and representative of reality. But it's also proven to be effective, as backed up by studies by Facebook and others.
I love that. You really summarize that so well, because you're right. It's like, there's just the ethical side of it, that it's the correct thing to do to show all the different types of people that, like, that should be represented. Why has it always been taken for granted? You know, white folks, definitely me growing up, it's like, oh, all the toys, like there's so many things, like cartoons, like everything was just like white folks, right?
Exactly.
Like all the time. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's totally taken for granted when that, like, other people have not been represented in that way. So it's so important, but also it makes sense, because with marketing, people want to see themselves
exactly
in those products and services and such. So
that, and to go a layer deeper, it's actually so powerful what marketing does to the psychology and how marketing shapes your perception around, you know, individuals. And so that's also why it's super important that companies become more inclusive, but in a way that makes sense. And so, you know, even within our own firm at Black Creative Group, we don't push clients to become more BIPOC inclusive. BIPOC as in Black, Indigenous, and people of color. We you know, we really see it as on an as needed basis. So while it's absolutely a beautiful thing to be inclusive, but in some cases, there are brands that are really targeting one unique audience. And, you know, that audience isn't very inclusive. It may be an audience of tennis players that are 20 to 25 that, you know, live in a certain region, and it just may not cover this idea of always being inclusive. So I say that to say, in some cases, especially when you have your target audience and when you made a product for a particular audience, in some cases, you know, it's okay to be exclusive. And I think that's also a conversation to be had, especially in a time of such high racial sensitivities and conversations around, you know, things when people see ads, what's racist and what's not. I think the other side of that conversation is that in some cases, some brands and businesses are targeting a specific client or a specific person. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
That's really interesting that you brought that up. And I feel like maybe sometimes people are just trying to appear not racist rather than thinking mm-hmm. thoughtfully through representing their true audience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if people are listening, because I think a lot of this is overcoming your internal bias that people may not have even realized was there and reckoning mm-hmm. with that. So if people are listening to this and they're like, okay, we want to be more inclusive. How do they go about starting to do that with messaging and marketing, maybe auditing what they've done and doing a better job going forward?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head on a couple points. You know, of course, on the digital side, it really is a matter of auditing your current messaging and your visuals. But the very first step is really that internal look at both yourself as a decision maker, but also the culture of the company and understanding why the brand isn't inclusive. In some cases, it could be literally the culture. We have clients that are culturally very conservative, that are culturally very religious, and that are culturally prejudiced, actually, in so many words. And that's why their brand and messaging isn't inclusive. And so I think it takes, you know, understanding the why first before going out into the marketplace and trying to communicate with these diverse audiences, whether it's BIPOC audiences, LGBT audiences, audiences with disabilities. I think the very first step is the why, understanding why you're not inclusive and if in fact you should be inclusive. You know, just kind of circling back to what we touched on earlier is that in some cases it's not a matter of totally revamping your whole brand to be inclusive, but just being prepared for those moments in our society that we're witnessing where cruelty happens and where, because you have a workplace and a work structure of diverse individuals, it only makes sense to address it and to release a statement on it. And so for the most part, when I think of the first steps that individuals and brands alike should be doing as it relates to thinking about reaching diverse audiences, it really is first understanding the truth behind why you're not reaching diverse mm-hmm. audiences as is. And then the second step would be, what diverse audiences are you trying to reach and why? And that third and last step would be, regardless of if diverse audiences are within your target group, you still have to have a strategy and a plan in place for the heightened times that we live in, where any moment a social justice protest can take over the world. We're not even talking just the states anymore, you know, the entire world, or, you know, cruelty can happen at any moment. And so I think that third step is really crucial in terms of having a strategy in place to address issues that may impact your employees and your brand.
That makes a lot of sense. And it sounds like you're talking about a lot of different levels here, right? It's internally, mm-hmm. like how your company's structured, what your values are. And it sounds like what what you're suggesting makes it so that a brand doesn't do something that's insincere. Like they're just trying to just to mm-hmm. do something to do it rather than to have that introspection that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, why haven't we been inclusive in the past? You mentioned, exactly. At the top of the show, you're talking about like imagery being so impactful, right? And this is a content marketing podcast. And I'd love to hear, we talk about messaging. What are all these different layers in which you can be more inclusive? Like definitely mm-hmm. the pictures, right? Like that's just like such a clear visual marker mm-hmm. of representation. But how else do you think it can be embedded into content?
There are so many layers. And that's why it's so important to have someone on your team that, is either from some of these communities or really specialized in the area of messaging and marketing to targeted demographics. It's so important. And, for your listeners, one of the takeaways that I definitely want to provide on the technical side of things is simply social listening, using a software like Sprout Social to conduct social listening, to really understand the meaning behind certain hashtags or to really understand the online dialogue about certain conversations and what the sentiment is. And so doing that, social listening really allows you to gain deeper insights. Now, on the topic of images, it's so many layers because too often people see things as black and white, literally, as in black skin tone, white skin tone, that's it.
Right.
And I think what has taken place recently with cruelty towards Asian communities, it just broadened the conversation again that, visually, we have to expand beyond thinking, it's too many white people in this picture, let me put more black people, or we really have to expand and look at those layers of the different ethnicities that may be missing. On top of that layer, there's also a layer of skin tone, which is also a very real issue as it relates to marketing, advertising, and the visuals. You often only see select skin tones within certain demographics, whether it's the Black demographic, where you may see a lighter skin tone used frequently, or whether it's even amongst the Asian demographic, where you see Indians who are marketed and they are also of a lighter skin tone. So I say that to say, you hit it on the head again with the layers, because in visuals, it's really important to be, if your aim is to be inclusive and diverse, it's really important to go that extra layer and say, okay, great, I am diverse in terms of I have visuals that encompass a little bit of all ethnicities or majority of ethnicities, but do these visuals resonate with the audience we're trying to reach? So if you're trying to reach a younger Black female audience, the image you have, does it accurately portray the look that you're going for? Maybe it's a more conservative Black female in the image. Maybe it's a more edgy Black female in the image. So it's conversations like that we have with our clients that really, one, requires a level of comfort. Some people aren't even comfortable calling people by their ethnicity or skin color. And so it really does take a level of comfort, but then it also just takes a level of understanding what inclusivity is and what the business of marketing is and how important it is to demonstrate through your visuals and to communicate through your visuals who your brand is and who you're trying to reach.
You have made some really great points, and I heard some kind of action items in there. One of them being, when you have a more diverse staff, you'll have so many more perspectives that can lend to these decisions rather than a white person trying to figure this out when they're not listening to anybody else around them who can bring those different viewpoints. Also the social listening component where you're getting at how to understand what's going on culturally and these different trends. What other advice do you have for people who are trying to better understand their audiences or research who they're trying to target? In addition to social listening, do you have any other suggestions?
Yeah, my main advice would be, if you don't already have a PR consultant on your team, that is so essential to have someone on call that can defend your brand in the worst case scenario, or that can help to really, when needed, shed a positive light on your brand. We're just in that climate where the smallest slip up can taint your brand. And it won't just taint your brand amongst that one demographic. We're seeing where it's turning off, people across the board when they deem that a brand has done something or said something inappropriate. And so having a PR person on hand will help you kind of mitigate that effectively and swiftly. And we can tell internally, the brands that don't have a PR person on hand, because, really? they're scrambling, their statement is just a bunch of rambling and it's not cohesive. When you have a PR person, it's very cohesive in terms of your messaging. And it's also effective in making sure that, bloggers and reporters are actually getting the facts instead of, this online cancel culture that we're seeing, where literally people will cancel your entire brand based upon something that was said or misused form of advertising or something along those lines.
So you think that's what's causing some of the fear around approaching these topics for some people?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the fear is, even just the wording, what do I say? I can speak a lot to, of course, as it relates to reaching and resonating with the Black community, because a lot of our clients reach out to us for that. So we certainly had to go beyond just being or having the perspective of a Black American, but we actually had to get DEI certified. We had to really ground ourselves in understanding the niches within niches in the Black online audience. And so I say that to say that the factor of being comfortable is so important when it comes to walking our clients through how to reach BIPOC audiences, specifically Black audiences. For example, sometimes clients aren't even comfortable. They don't know whether to say African American or Black. And it's like at this point we sit back, and it's a learning experience for us too, because what's often seen as racist or inflammatory really sometimes is really just a lack of not knowing and not knowing what to say and what not to say. And trust me, that's not an excuse to let anyone off the hook. It really is just from someone who's been in marketing for 11 plus years and could understand how a photo shoot was misconstrued or taken the wrong way because the director over the shoot was a 25-year-old, white woman from X, Y, and Z. And so I say that to say that people just aren't getting comfortable enough with the idea that, hey, we are in a time and space where racism and race issues are on the rise. But that doesn't mean that companies should force themselves to be inclusive. It really just means that there should be a dialogue and there should be more thought in your materials now when you're putting them out. Whereas before, the thought wasn't as loud for marketers and for individuals on teams who are creating creative assets and things like that. It wasn't a thought, okay, I need to make this inclusive. And so now that that thought is there, it's a really good start. But the next step is to really identify, you know, what the issues are, but to also have a plan and someone on your team that could really execute some of the things you're looking to do in the space of reaching diverse audiences.
Absolutely. And there's, you had mentioned this before, but there's so much more nuance to it than simply just deciding, okay, we're going to be diverse now. Mm-hmm. and assuming you know what that means and all the ways you can do that, mm-hmm. having these deeper conversations. I mean, I can only really speak to my personal experience, but I certainly felt last year that there's a place of vulnerability you have to get to. And like you keep mentioning, like the comfort that you have to have, but you know, that initial, like on a personal level, this initial discomfort with grappling with some of these things, right? Mm-hmm. Because companies are made up of people.
Right.
So I think that it's hard to separate a brand from the people who work for the brand. I don't know. Would you agree with that?
No, it's definitely hard because that's the reality of it. And that was actually a real story that I gave you about the 25-year-old who was directing a natural hair shoot. So a hair shoot full of Black woman influencers, huge, they have huge social media followers. They're all about natural hair. And the director, rightfully so, I mean, she's been in the industry, she has her credentials, but, and she was able to digest that and say, okay, let me take a step back and understand, you know, how this may be portrayed from a different lens. And so it's so important to understand that these brands are people. There are people behind the brands who are making the decisions and who are the decision makers. And so I say to those people and to the people that are listening is that, you know, it's really an opportunity to, you know, make your brand have the type of staying power so that if an incident does occur where something was, you know, misinterpreted or which we've seen happen where the smallest of things can be totally misinterpreted. I think the important part is if you're already creating a track record, even now, if you're creating a track record of becoming more inclusive, it really does give your brand more staying power. And again, it's really about the messaging and the visuals in the time that we're in, where everything is, you know, social media focused. You really have a millisecond to capture someone's attention. Your best bet as a decision maker is to start thinking about ways to become more inclusive. And it may not be inclusive in totality, meaning, okay, you have to shift your entire brand to be inclusive to all. No, because that's not effective in a business sense. That just doesn't work in all cases. But in terms of being inclusive at moments when you can, which is when, you know, things rock the world and your employees are looking at you to make a statement and your customers are looking at you to make a statement, it's in those moments where you have to realize that inclusivity is what's best for the actual business.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's all really powerful. I think if somebody's listening and they're not the decision maker, right? Like they're in a mm-hmm. company and they're not the decision maker, but they know that there's improvements that need to be made. How would you recommend to them to start, like to broach that conversation maybe with their management? It sounds like, you know, like you mentioned, there's some great resources, like from the marketing perspective that are out there. What advice would you give those people?
That is so great. Another real life example, a younger sister of mine, when the George Floyd incident occurred, she wanted to email her boss this very, she didn't know at the time, but I'm so glad she ran it by me. It was just this very aggressive email around her company issuing a statement about what was taking place with George Floyd. And so what I would say to those individuals is the same thing I said to my sister, is to take a step back and to first remember that things have a process. So while you're assuming that a statement is not in the works or that your boss is not grieving, those are actual assumptions. Instead of And this is the advice I gave my sister. And the key takeaway here is that go from a place of demanding and move into a place of asking and requesting. Mm-hmm. And so, and because what that does is it just shifts the entire energy. I mean, if for most people who are in that space of they have a pretty junior title or higher title and they're looking to engage leadership or their boss around inclusivity or around making statements as it relates to social justice issues or any issues against, you know, any particular demographic, I think the important first step is to remember that things may be working in the background that you don't know of. So never walk into a situation assuming and having so much heat and aggression. Instead, propose solutions. And that's what leadership not only wants to hear, but that's what they need to hear. They need to hear more of the solutions from their actual team instead of, you know, this idea of demanding your boss do X, Y, and Z, or demanding more diversity in the workplace, or demanding more fairness for new moms, or demanding, you know, LGBT people have a seat at the table. And so I would say to that on the front end is to go into it, remove any aggression, because at the end of the day, it's a workplace and you have to remain professional. This is the advice I gave my little sister, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And then, no, I love it.
Oh, good. And then the main pieces are, if you're going to come to the table with any complaint or any compliment, always bring solutions. So that's the key takeaway is to bring solutions. And so what my little sister did and what proved successful and what worked is that totally had to scrap her email altogether. And we had to move into a place of, hey, I care about what's going on. This is affecting my mental and spiritual health. I love this company. And because this company is connected to me, here are some ideas I have in mind or how you can handle it. Wow. And that has not only helped her in the workplace as far as just elevated her, but it also helped leadership see, okay, here's some solutions from our actual team. You know, we don't have to do this alone. We don't have to go at it alone. Our team actually has brilliant ideas.
I love that you have specific examples because I think it really helps illustrate these points. And just hearing your insight has been so great because this is such a complex topic, really. Mm-hmm. Like, and the fact that you're a communication expert and you can lend that perspective to all of this, like how do you actually talk about these things to get change and have people make these changes at a company is just so important.
Mm-hmm.
So as a total pivot, because we're already near the end of the show.
Yeah, but this is so good, so I don't mind.
So actually, Crystal, something I've been asking everybody this year is about creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think that this kind of speaks to just like getting out of your typical mindset, which can apply to so many different things, including biases, I think.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of problems being creative in the last year. And so I've been asking everybody, how have they been able to stay creative when all of this is going on, when I feel like we're just stuck at home and, you know, everything is just so different.
Right.
Yeah, how have you been able to have a creative mindset where you're able to, you know, think outside of the box?
You know, personally, what I found, and this is definitely a pivot, and this is definitely not in the place of like marketing messaging, but personally, what I found is movement. Mm. You know, when the pandemic hit, you know, I was just behind my laptop like a mad woman all day. Yeah. And my creativity was just like dying. And I realized, literally for the listeners who are like mind, body, spirit, I really realized that I wasn't moving my body enough. And so my mind was kind of lagging also, me personally believing that all things are connected. So for me, it's been movement, keeping myself moving and active, going for a bike ride and stuff like that.
Yeah, I totally get that. I was so bad about that I still am to an extent. I've gotten better recently, but I just sit here for like 6 hours. I like get up to get water or a snack.
Right, and that's it.
And you feel like that's productive, but it's actually not at all. Your mindset is very different when you're just static like that.
I so agree.
So we're nearing the end of the episode, as I mentioned. Is there anything that I didn't ask or something that I forgot to touch on that you think is important to share with people about BIPOC messaging?
We've covered a lot, which was awesome. I think another just quick, easy takeaway for those individuals that are looking to become more inclusive, especially as it relates to BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, and people of color, it's easy to do is looking at national holidays that are diverse, whether it's National Hispanic Heritage Month, Black History Month, Indigenous Peoples Day, things like that. Those are easy opportunities for you to create social media creative around, to release a statement around, and it still allows your brand to authentically connect with your particular audience, which may not fall in that BIPOC category, but it also gives you reach to say, hey, we're aware and we celebrate you on this particular holiday. So that's another just easy way to weave in ways to connect and communicate with BIPOC audiences. And I'll say the last thing, and this may come up, is just an opportunity to share with people how to stay connected. As you kind of touched on, the company is called Black Creative Group. We are marketers, public relation experts, but we really focus on helping brands and individuals create culturally relevant messaging, marketing, and design. And then I will say with that, just a little fun fact, a backstory of ours, although we are Black Creative Group and the two founders, myself and Mike, both being Black, as soon as we started, the first thing that we came to the table with was that we wanted a diverse team. We didn't want to be what has held us back, both personally and professionally. And it's exclusion. It's, you know, the idea that a certain race or a certain sexuality. And so I say all that to say that our team, we're proud to say, is very diverse. And so that's one of the things that's really important to us, is to be unapologetically Black and proud of that, but to also authentically come from a place of valuing diversity, and it's reflected in our team. So with that, yeah, all of our social media and everything is on our website, blackcreativegroup.com. And yeah, I think that's pretty much the whole spiel of who we are.
Thank you, Crystal. It's been so great to have you on the show. Knowing that this is a content podcast and we're helping content marketers, who do you recommend to be guests on future episodes?
Oh, really good question. Content. Well, still kind of staying in the space of inclusivity and BIPOC audiences. I think a good guest would be a content creator that can talk to the issues around lack of attribution and in some cases appropriation. I think there's a really good dialogue happening online where content creators are creating the culture. They're literally creating the new slang words or the new dance, but they're not able to monetize it and really maximize the opportunity. So I think a good conversation around content creation would be around fairly giving credit to creators that you may have snagged an idea from. I think it's such an important conversation to have.
Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think about that, but that's super important. Mm-hmm. Well, Crystal, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your insights with us. It is so appreciated.
I appreciate the opportunity, and this was wonderful, and I look forward to staying connected with you.
Absolutely. If you've listened to this and want even more tips, sign up for our podcast newsletter by going to the podcast page on the Fractal website. And if you've learned anything from this show, we'd love it if you'd subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave a review. Finally, if you have feedback, suggestions, ideas, plants that are sturdy and won't easily die because I suck at gardening, or anything else you'd like to share with me, shoot me an email at amanda@frac.tl. I'm a shameless extrovert who would love to hear from you. Thank you to Sean Kelly for podcast music and editing, and to Joao Pereira for the logo design. And thank you, dear listener. I hope you'll join us next time.